welcome to this wonderful bonus episode of the Life Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Orme, and today we're going to take a sneak peek at some of the new Patreon content that is coming out. So before we get into that, I would like to just remind you that you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/LifeTech. Blog pod. You can follow me on Twitter at bloodyorme, BLODYORME. You can find us on Tumblr, mystoreslifedebt.tumblr.com, and you can email the blog, or you can email the My Star Wars Life Debt at lifedebtpodcast@outlook.com. And if you do email, then be sure that your emails will be read out on a future bonus episode or when the podcast returns to a regular schedule. If you would like to contribute to the My Star Wars Life Debt project, you can do that at patreon.com/MyStarWarsLifeDebt, and I will go into that a little bit more in just a second. But if you don't want to sign up to Patreon, but you would like to get your hands on some wonderful Life Debt merch with artwork by Andy Bailey, you can visit redbubble.com/lifedebtpodcast/shop. But that link will be in the show notes as well. And you can also check out our new YouTube page. And the link for that is also in the show notes, as we haven't got a bespoke URL for that yet. I believe that's it for the business. So without further ado, I will be back in just a second and go through some stuff with you wonderful listeners. So before we jump into the main content for this episode, which is going to be the first episode of the new Patreon exclusive audio commentaries, starting with The Mandalorian season one. So I've done the first episode of season one. I recorded an audio commentary for it. It went up on Patreon last week. The new $5 tier called Life Debt Legends. So if you sign up to the Life Debt Legends, you get access to the audio commentaries every other week. And then you, of course, get access to all of the content from the rest of the tiers. And I will be adding a couple more bits to this tier in the future. It's just at the moment things are all a bit with COVID, so it's going to be a watch this space. But you know, you're getting the audio commentaries, which is, you know, as long as a piece of string. Depends on what I'm doing the audio commentary for. But I've also added a new tier for which will be running for the duration of the COVID-19 pandemic, which is, it's called the COVID-19 Menace, and it's essentially a way for people who just want extra content, more, you know, they want to got a lot more time at home, and, you know, they just want some Star Wars content to, you know, fill their days. So essentially what it is all of the bonus content and bonus perks and everything from all three tiers are available to COVID Menace subscribers, and it's just for the low price of $1. So $1 a month gets you everything from the $1, from the current $1, $3 and $5 tiers. And as I said, this will be running for the duration of the COVID-19 pandemic. Basically, you know, I'm just trying to, if people want content, and you know, it's a, there's a lot of stuff that's all up in the air, and they don't want to worry about kind of higher contributions or anything like that, but for a dollar they can get access to everything, essentially. So for however long this goes on, it's there, it's available. So if you are wanting extra content, then please give it a look, take a look at it, see what you think, and you know, if you like it, then great. And I do hope people enjoy it. So yeah, so with that out of the way, yes, I'm gonna leave you now, so that you can take a look or take a listen to the first episode of the Life Debt Commentaries, and it's for The Mandalorian Season 1, Chapter 1, called The Mandalorian. So without further ado, here we go. Hello and welcome to the first episode of the Life Debt Commentaries for the $5 tier on Patreon. For the next 8 episodes, I'm going to be going through The Mandalorian Season 1. And then after that, we'll figure out what we're going to be, what I'll be doing commentaries on. I am joined by my wonderful furry co-host, Lily the cat. So basically, what it's going to be is I'm going to be watching the episode on Disney Plus, and I'll be talking about it as it plays out. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start, let it load. Right, I've paused it. I've gone right to the beginning. So when I say start, you start the episode as well. And we'll talk Mandalorian. Episode, well, chapter one, The Mandalorian. So, 3, 2, 1. Here we go. Now, I've got to say I like the Disney Plus logo. I'm being asked to skip intro. I'm not going to skip intro. Let's keep going. I've got to say I'm not a huge fan of this flashing lights and helmets intro. It's cool and all, but I just don't like it. So, we're opening up on the planet. I've got to say, like, straight up, this is, like, the best intro to anything I've seen for a long, long time. It just wonderfully establishes the entire world. It establishes the character. And I've not enjoyed an intro so much since From Dusk Till Dawn, where I think the first 5-10 minutes is just genius. So yeah, I love the bar. I love all the patrons in there. And something I've just noticed, like, the guy who stands up at the table where Horatio Sanz is blue guild character, there's a guy in a hat who stands up next to him. I didn't realize it before, but he's got a robot arm. I found out, I was listening to an interview with Dominic Pace, who is in this episode and in episode 3, that the kind of bearded thug who is threatening Blue Gill guy also is the guy in the suit of the Heavy Mandalorian in episode 3, which is pretty cool. I love the fact that they're using a Quarren. You know, it's like really cool nod to the original trilogy, good old Squidhead. I really enjoy the fight as well. Like, the action is... The fight itself is very fast-paced. It's bang, 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 done. And then you get the Squidhead getting cut in half, which is pretty brutal, but well done. Oh, it's a Mithril. That's his name, Mithril. Now, when this first came out and everyone was going, oh, it's Horatio Sands, it's Horatio Sands. I had no clue who they were talking about. I had to Google him. And he's an actor from SNL, which, you know, being in the UK, we don't get SNL here. But, you know, I mean, he plays it well. It's an enjoyable character. I don't know why. I kind of could imagine... what's his name? David Brent. Ricky Gervais as this character as well. Which I think would have also been pretty funny. I just love the music here. Ding, 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 ding. As you lead him across the ice to the, is it a Garandin ferryman? And I think this guy is really cool as well, playing the flute. And you get it in the speeders arriving. Now, I've heard a lot of people kind of complaining about the CGI on this speeder, and I think I can understand it. But, you know, I mean, what are you going to do? You know, it still looks pretty good. And I like this idea of having a droid built into a vehicle. We see that, well, an astromech droid built into a vehicle. We see it a few times through this through the series. And, you know, it's one of those things that you can completely and utterly understand. But you kind of sit there going, why didn't I think of that? Why didn't I kind of think, oh, that could happen? Is it Brian Posehn who plays the speeder driver? I'd seen him in a couple of things, but I'll always remember him from Big Bang Theory. And I've seen some of his stand-up, and he's quite a funny guy. So it was kind of cool to see him. They get a lot of comedians on here, which I think is interesting. Here we get to see our first proper look at the Razor Crest. May I just say, I cannot wait for this Lego set. I want that thing so bad. And for once, not just because of Baby Yoda. I love hearing the Horatio Sands going on about how he'll pay for like different things and stuff. You could just tell he's trying to, you know, buy off Mando. And he keeps trying even though it never works. Gotta say, I was gutted to see Brian Posehn go in that moment when the creature just burst out of the ice. And like just this ominous feel of like it's definitely approaching the Razor Crest now, and is it going to get him? Nope. But it does latch on to the Razor Crest. I mean, that's a massive sea space walrus, isn't it? I really like kind of in the cockpit where you get to see all the lights reflected in Mando's helmet. I just think, you know, it's just so well done. It really kind of just adds to the scene. And we get to see his pulse rifle in action. I mean, we don't get to see it properly in action in this episode, but we get to see him using it here.
to, you know, zap Space Warus. Again, I'm going to say I really like the ship. I really like the Razor Crest. And, you know, a really cool thing to learn from Celebration last year, that the Razor Crest is actually a practical vehicle that they filmed using, like, kind of the old school techniques from when they were making the original trilogy, and they're using models and, you know, passing cameras and all that jazz. And I think it looks really great. You know, it really adds to that kind of the feel that this was kind of set around the original trilogy. So you get this scene, like, you get to learn more about Mando as a character, not just as a, you know, the first sequence was, you know, we get to see the attitude and, you know, kind of his fighting and, you know, the way he kind of operates. Here we get to see kind of, like, you know, he's the lone gunman, he doesn't talk, he doesn't want to talk. And by the way, who wants to know about malting and vac tubes? I mean, I think it's cool we get to see a Star Wars toilet, but this guy's just grim. But it's a really cool way of getting to see, you know, how Mando lives as well. So, you know, the vac tube is right there. There's a bunk right next to it. And you know, right next to that is a cabinet full of weapons. And then next to that is a bunch of, what are they called? A bunch of bounties frozen in carbonite on the ship. You know, it's like you get to see how living this way is a very quiet, lonely life. So we've got a Rodian, we've got a human, and what was the other one? Oh, it's two humans and a Rodian that he's got already caught. This is something that I really enjoy. The fact that they kind of play Mando like a horror story as well. So, like, the way Mando just kind of appears in places, you know, it is like watching a horror movie, you know. Like, you get to, it's like, oh, look, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. Bang, the creature is behind you. So we're on, I think it's Navarro now, which is the home of the Bounty Hunters Guild in Greef Karga. You know, getting Mando walking through the streets and into this bar. And I love, this is almost like the cantina in A New Hope, just the different creatures that are in there. I mean, you've got Trandoshans that kind of look like really bad Klingons from Star Trek Into Darkness. Just tons of different aliens. Rodians. I think I saw a Twi'lek in there, but I might be wrong. And I'll be honest, I've not seen Carl Weathers in much before this, but this guy is like full-on 80s, 90s action hero in this. And we get to see kind of where the galaxy is. You know, he's trying to pay him in Imperial credits, but, you know, no, he doesn't want to take Imperial credits because, you know, who's going to buy it or spend them? Then you've got Calamari Flan. And he can only pay in half, because that's probably all the Calamari Flan he's got. Now, I'm not sure, but I think I just saw an IG unit, but I might have been wrong behind Greef Karga. And here we get Greef's goons taking carbonized thugs, goons. And then man is trying to get another job. And basically it's just, you know, nothing work. Bail jumpers and a wanted smuggler. Now, speculation could say this wanted smuggler was Han Solo, which would be pretty cool, but at this point he'll be living like the living the high life at this point. Ben Solo would be 4 years old, so it'd be after the events of Last Shot. You know, he's being a father and a husband. And here we get the big job. You know, things are very different to how it's operated. And this is interesting, you know, you get, this is how the Bounty Hunter Guild operates. So you get pucks and fobs and chain codes and all this stuff. But is that how Vader was operating when he hired the Bounty Hunters in Empire Strikes Back? Part of me doesn't think so. Part of me just thinks he contacted them and they arrived. So we get to see some off-world Jawas. The first time we see off-world Jawas in the season, which is pretty cool. Mando walking through the streets. You know, I really like the way that they do this. You know, the streets just look so fantastic, so lived in. You know, they're just like pretty much like four or five different buildings that just keep getting moved around and a bit of blue screen. Or it's not even blue screen, is it? It's those LED wraparound screens that they project everything. I love the door droid thing. Okay. You know, it's like, so many callbacks to the original trilogy, and it's not like, it doesn't feel like fan service. It just, everything feels so right in a way, like necessary. This is the world that we're in. This is where we're at this point in the timeline of the galaxy. And then you walk into a room, you've got a room full of stormtroopers who have definitely seen better days. And the man, the legend, the client, Werner Herzog, who, if anyone could say this guy does not have presence and doesn't steal the show before Baby Yoda steals the show, you got to be lying. Just everything he says just feels like you could just so easily quote him, and it will just slot in there so nicely. I kind of want to turn around and say and tell people, you know, walk around with someone and saying, please excuse his lack of decorum. And you see how badass Mando is. He's like, there's four of us. Yeah, I'll take those odds. Oh, just so well done. So I'd never noticed it until someone pointed it out to me. Well, it was pointed out on Twitter or Facebook that Dr. Pershing has a cloner's symbol from Kamino on his tunic. So it kind of makes you go, ooh. And then he's revealed this block of metal that we find out is Beskar. And they're trying to, you know, they're telling him the job. You got to find this person. Bounty hunting is a complicated profession. Oh, I love this voice. Proof of termination is also acceptable for a lower fee. Oh, brilliant. Oh, every word, everything he says is just gold. And this is also kind of part of the whole, you know, just you learn more about Mandalorian lore as well. And this is where we find out that the bounty is 50 years old and the last known position. I mean, it's not a lot of information to go on, but you kind of get the feeling that this guy is, you know, gonna get the job done anyway. I mean, he is the hero of the series. This is interesting. The Beskar belongs in the hands of Mandalorian. It's good to restore the natural order after such a period of disarray. It's like, okay, so something's gone on with the Mandalorians. And then, you know, of course, like the upcoming scene, you know, we learn a bit more. That's just horrible. Kowakian monkey lizards being roasted. How dare they? I mean, I won't mind them roasting Salacious Crumb. He's annoying. But, you know, to be fair, he's already been roasted on Jabba's sail barge. You're going through the street market, entering this building. You know, you get the idea that this is meant to be, like, a really well hidden, and basically the door is a curtain. You know, if you look at the helmet, you kind of think, God, how do I see? And you just know that going down the spiral staircase is going to be horrible. You know, you see, he basically walks down the stairs and into this Mandalorian covert. Everyone's wearing helmets. You get to see so many different Mandalorians, and then you get the Mythosaur skull, and it's like, you know, you're Mandalorian territory here. Now, this is probably, I mean, every scene with the armorer is just fantastic. Like, you're being schooled in Mandalorian lore here. I love the look of the character. I love the design. I love the helmet. I was on an episode of Jam Transmissions with Pete and Eden, and we were talking about Mandalorian. And Eden brought up a really interesting idea that the horns on the armorer's helmet could be something to do with Maul and Mandalorian, the Mandalorians. Maybe that's her signet, having horns on her helmet. So maybe she was part of Bo-Katan's group who fought against Darth Maul, and, you know, after he took over Death Watch. I love her helmet as well. It just looks like a Spartan helmet. You know, she's saying, oh, we'll make you a pauldron. And you just see it's like blacksmithing. Just looks fantastic. And the music in the scene kind of crossfades. And again, we learn more about Mandalorians, foundling. There's like the remnants of, you know, like they make his pauldron, and then what's left will go towards sponsoring foundlings. So essentially, does that mean they're going to be making armor for the foundlings? Is that going to be crafting helmets for them? And then, of course, we're seeing backs, like some history, like a mother and father in the middle of a war zone, hiding a kid in a compartment wearing red hoods, you know. I mean, it's easy to assume that this was, that is a young Mando. And we get to see what's under his armor as well. Like, on his bodysuit, you've got, like, these magnetic strips, essentially, that keep his armor in place. Like, these are the things, like, you never realize you were ever going to learn. Like, just from, like, seeing Boba Fett in Return of the Jedi and Empire Strikes Back. Like, okay, guy's wearing armor. Like, here we're actually learning how the armor is put together. And what it takes to be a true man, like true Mandalorian armor is made out of Beskar. Um, there's something very Tatooine about this planet, but again, it's probably because it's a desert planet that I'm saying it. A lot more rockier than Tatooine. Sure, Tatooine has some rocky places, but this planet, and I can never remember the name of this planet, it's something seven. It's very, looks similar, but like once you get to into it, it's very different terrain. Like, I'm really interested in how these fobs work, because it's like, right, you just go near a planet and it beeps at you incessantly. And here we get the blurgs. Now, I know that these are they're CGI, but there are moments when they look practical, which I think is a fantastic. Like this scene here where Mando's fighting a blurg, like it looks like he's basically fighting a giant puppet. And in comes another one. That one feels CGI. But that first one definitely seems to be more practical. And here we have Kuil. The first fan favourite character of the series. Who would have thought that a Nick Nolte voiced Ugnaught with a brilliant catchphrase would become a fast favourite of Star Wars fandom? I have spoken. Now, I cannot say how many times I've attempted to use that successfully in at work or just generally in life. I like Kuil's house. I like the how it is designed outside. And here we're learning more about what goes on this planet. Like, so much exposition in this episode, but it doesn't feel bogged down. It feels necessary, but at the same time you continue to be entertained. And the fact that he's negotiating with Kuil for his help, and Kuil's just like, yeah, I want half. What, half of the bounty? No, the blurgs. Then you'd find out he's got to ride one. He's like, what? And again, more But once he's outside, trying to tame the blurg. And the lore is just so well done. Like, we find out more and more little things. Like, maybe if you took off your helmet, well, maybe it knows that I tried to roast it alive. Well, we find out that, Mando doesn't take off his helmet. He doesn't, it's against the rules for him. Mando versus Blur. Mando trying to tame Blur. Hilarious. And he's just so impatient. You're Mandalorian, you. Ancestors rode the great Mythosaur. So it's like, you know what? I want to see them riding a Mythosaur. Can we get, like, some sort of, I don't know. What if we find one in the High Republic? What if, like, at some point we see Mandalorians and Mythosaurs in the High Republic? Or would it have to be much earlier in the timeline than that? Mando attempting to calm a blurg. Kind of works. Who'd have thought, you just have to go over and pet this weird lizard piranha T-Rex thing to get it to like you. Interesting. And that's a pretty epic shot as he jumps onto the back of the blurg. And now he can ride the weird piranha lizard T-Rex thing. Oh, the music is fantastic. Oh, I genuinely love listening to this, to the soundtracks to these episodes. I got all 8 episodes worth of music on Amazon Music and listened to it straight through, and oh, so good. Just perfect. And the Mandalorian theme is just wonderful. Oh. I like how Kuil just doesn't want to get paid. And he's basically just helping Mando because he wants to see peace return to the valley. And I think that's really, it's like, he's not in it for money, he's just in it to see his home get back to normal. He's never met the Mandalorian, he's only heard the stories. Now, that's just, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, we just, it's like more exposition, but so, again, well done, and not bogging us down with stories or anything like that. It's like, right, this is it, and it's done. So we get to see more of Mando not liking droids. He didn't like the droid at the beginning in the speeder, so he wanted Brian Pushane to drive him, but, you know, who wouldn't? And you've got a compound full of Nikto, which is really funny, because it's like, you look at them, it's like, oh, look, it's Niku people, it's Niku's people, but Niku is so much nicer than them. And then here we get IG-11, aka Taika Waititi as the Star Wars Terminator. I mean, the character isn't meant, IG-11 isn't meant to be comic relief, but the way he's portrayed is actually, he's so serious, it's funny. And I love the way that they have the IG unit, this IG droid, moving. Like, we never got to see it in the original trilogy, and then, you know, we see it some in Clone Wars, but seeing it in live action is just so cool. How is it Mando, whenever he gets shot, is always in the shoulder? Is it because the Beskar's shiny, so it makes a better target? This is kind of like a precursor, a hint to stuff in episode 3, thinking that he's the only one, that IG-11 is the only one on the job. But we learn more about that in episode 3, and I think that really helps with, like, the surprise of what we get in episode 3. I love how he's made to look up like, look like the character, one of the characters from, I think it's Lee Van Cleef, his character from The Good, the Bad and the Ugly, with the dual bandanas over his shoulders. And then here we go, into the battle, which is just fantastic. It looks so good, like Mando and IG-11 taking on these thugs. You know, working together, you know, you just know that Mando would totally, like, he's just working with the IG unit, hoping the IG unit gets destroyed in this battle, but he just uses him for as long as he needs to. I don't know if IG-11 is, don't think he's motion captured, you know, he's got to be all CGI, but at the same time, like, it just, everything looks so practical that, I mean, I know they built an IG-11, they built an IG-11 for a stand-in, I guess. initiating self-destruct. Like, seriously, a droid with a death wish is hilarious. And this is like a gag that could have gone on way too long, this don't self-destruct, I'm going to self-destruct. But it, you know, it's one of those spots of humour that, you know, it doesn't get old, but it really could have done. But I think that's just a credit to Jon Favreau's writing and just the way that this scene is put together. Oh, look, we're going to try and self-destruct again in a second. And then you get the cannon being brought in. So, so good. No, stop it. Self-destruct counter. No! And then IG-11 gets blasted to hell. Poor IG-11. And then we get Mando just being Mando, jumping onto that cover cannon, blasting away at people. So well done. Just legendary. I mean, this... there's a reason this series is so well loved. It's just moments like that which are so fun and enjoyable. Poor IG-11. He didn't get to blow up. IG-11 ring diagnostics. Oh. It's fine. We need to get the door open and they both turn and look at the blaster. Brilliant. Door falls down. Beautiful iconic shot of Mando and IG-11 walking in together. I mean, everything about this just screams Western, and it just feels fantastic. It looks beautiful. And here we go. That this fantastic. Oh, I mean, I've got to be honest, who would have thought this, who could have even considered this reveal here? I mean, you can't see anything until the reverse shot, and you see like this head and these ears just until right now. The child lowers the blanket. And there it is. And then you're like, instantly, as soon as you see him, as soon as you see the child, you feel something for it. You feel protective over it. And this is exactly what Mando does as well. Mando suddenly feels protective over it. Even though he's like, he's doing it as a job, there's something about the way he blasts, you know, him blasting IG-11, and then the way he can't... This is a credit to the actor. I mean, I don't know if it is Pedro Pascal in the mask right at that moment, but just the way he looks at the child just is... It's like you can tell right there that he's feeling something. You're not quite sure what, but it's definitely something sympathetic. And... you know, you feel it. You feel like him caring in that moment. And yeah, fantastic. Just beautiful episode. I love the artwork we get as over the credits. I mean, you wonder if it was done after they finished the episode or if it was before the episode, or before they made the episode. If it's concept art or if it's, you know, something that they did afterwards, like taking key moments and going, yeah, let's do this. But, you know, whichever way it was done, it just looks brilliant. That is, like, one of my favourite shots with Mando and IG-11 stood together. And then you get Mando on the Blurg, which is made to look like the, what's it called? Boba Fett on, no, Stormtrooper on G-Bag from A New Hope. But, yeah, it looks really good. Ah, so there we go. That's it. Chapter 1, The Mandalorian. Audio commentary. So, before I go, I would like to thank all of you for your continued contributions to the blog and podcast. It means a great deal to me. It's thanks to you guys that I've been able to get some new equipment. I'm able to pick up stuff that I can write and talk about. And, yeah, like, you guys are really help keep the blog and podcast going, kind of helping with the content generation, and coming soon, better audio quality. So, yeah, like I said, it means a great deal to me. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you for your contributions, and this is the way. I have spoken. And there you have it. I hope you enjoyed listening to me watch a TV episode. just want to say thank you for listening. And remember, you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/lifedebtblogpod. You can follow me on Twitter at bloodyorm, BLODYORME. You can find us on mystyleslifedebt.tumblr.com. I know what I'm talking about. You can send emails to lifedebtpodcast@outlook.com, and I will be reading out emails on any future bonus episodes or when the podcast returns full time. If you would like to sign up to any of the tiers that I was talking about on Patreon, you can find those at patreon.com/mystylewaslifedebt. And if you would like to buy some beautiful merch with beautiful artwork by my friend, the artist Andy Bailey, you can visit redbubble.com/lifedebtpodcast/shop. If I've got that wrong, the link is in the show notes. And you can also check out our new YouTube channel, which the link is in the show notes as well, because we have not got that bespoke URL just yet. So without further ado, I'm going to say those wonderful words. Punch it, Chewie. And before we go, I would just like to extend my gratitude and thanks to our Patreon members. So I'd like to thank Patreon Becky, Anthony, aka a Rural Farm Boy, and Chris King for your continued contributions and support to the Life Debt Project. It's greatly appreciated, and thanks to you, this episode sounds so amazing because I got a new microphone for podcasting. So yes, thank you very much, and I'll see you there on the Patreon. So thank you.